tall, knowing every step through the rise and the fall. In the pages of Proverbs, secrets unfold, revealing a treasure more precious than gold. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day, you'll realize, guided by wisdom, let preparedness rise. Get wise, it's no surprise, a proverb a day. Walk the right way, to make the right choices every single day. From the dawn of creation to the hustle and grind, Proverbs light the path for a clear state of mind. Get wise, open your eyes, read a chapter every day, you'll realize, guided by wisdom, let prepare. Rise, get wise, it's no surprise, a proverb a day will bring wisdom your way. Get wise, a proverb a day will bring wisdom your way. Why shouldn't I, men shouldn't brag, shut your lips like a vice, show peace.
All right. Good morning. I did a silent intro today. It was a lot of fun. I'll have to cut that out later or something. Anyway, welcome once again. As my cat downstairs is freaking out, and I just got some exciting news. It's very distracting. I was featured in a pretty major news publication today. So, wow, it's kind of one of those things where it's like I had known that it was, had the potential, but I had kind of given up on it actually taking place at this point. So I was a good surprise for this morning. And so, yeah, I'm feeling blessed and I'm feeling fired up. So let's get some, let me pray for you, play our famous theme song, and then we'll get started with Proverbs 22 this morning. Father, that thank you so much for all the things you've done to bless me and to bless all of us, really, that you've actually put things in place that we are not aware of, that sometimes we can think we have a hand in, but really are just willing participants. And so, Father, we ask that you would further that in us, that sense of humility and sense of purpose for us this morning, that we can be willing participants in what you're already doing. So, Father God, we ask that you would bless us with your wisdom this morning, and so that we can be a blessing to those around us. We do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Here we go. All right. Forgot to click on a certain button here. I'm sitting there looking at the screen. I'm like, hey, nobody's seeing what I'm seeing. Proverbs 22, we're reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible this morning. And let's dive in. A good name is to be chosen over great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord made them both. Are the poor meat? It's a weird translation there. So it says literally, it says the poor meat. So the rich and the poor meet. Interesting. So the Lord made them both, or the Lord made them all. Nuances, but I think it's generally the same thing. Yeah. But this is actually came up in a mastermind discussion earlier this week. So the rich and poor have this in common. The Lord made them both. In other words, your wealth doesn't give you position, and not having wealth doesn't take your position away as far as God is concerned. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made in regardless of where things are at. And that's why I think verse 22 here, or the verse 1 says a good name is to be chosen over great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold, is because really it's not about that. As much as sometimes we get it twisted. And you know what, in hard times, in times where we have challenges, that's always easy to fall into traps of the comparisons and to be so upset that someone else has something you don't, that we get into this weird notion of being resentful of that. And that is essentially greed coming up. And we don't realize it's greed, but it is greed. And we need to be very cautious of that. We need to be very, very concerned if we have these notions of, well, why is this person successful? Why is that person working at, you know? And I've dealt with this myself. I've dealt with it recently, actually. And I'm sure people have said the same thing about me, and I don't realize it. It's just a matter of just getting right with God, period. And that is more favorable. So he has been involved in the creation of both the rich and the poor. Verse 3, a sensible person sees danger and takes cover. But the inexperienced keep going and are punished. A sensible person sees danger and takes cover. Inexperienced keep going and punished. Okay. Or I wonder if the are punished. I think there might be some different ways to translate that. Where it's not necessarily punishment, but actually there's a bad result. We'll have to look at that. In fact, you know what? We're right here. Why not just take a quick parallel here? Pay the penalty. So very simple, very similar, I should say. Or the we haven't talked to the good news in a while, have we? And regret it later. Unthinking person will walk right into it and regret it later instead of are punished. Anyway. I think it's the first time we've done that. Just immediately cross-reference. Full disclosure, I actually want to figure out a way to do that more effectively going forward, but I haven't really truly figured that one out yet, but we'll get there. Verse 4, the result of humility is fear of the Lord, along with wealth, honor, and life. I know I highlighted that one green before, but I'm going to do it again. Literally this week, I shared on Facebook for a few people privately that this has been something that I've been thinking a lot about in terms of what fear of the Lord actually means, what it actually entails, and that I've been fearful of other things. I mean, even this week, as I was looking at things, and I'm like, well, I don't feel confidence in anything. I don't feel, and that's fear developing. And it's not fear of God. It's not fear of what the Lord has for me or doesn't have for me. It's fear that I won't be successful or I will have to. It's just these weird, Satan knows how to push my buttons, I think. And really, I got to put him in his place. You're conquered, dude. You can whisper these things all you want. I'm just not hearing it anymore. It's just not, you're not going to convince me that I'm heading towards destruction anymore. I got to be done with that. I've got to be done with that thinking that, I don't have a position in the kingdom here. that God doesn't want to take care of me. What in the world has been wrong with my thinking? I swear. It's like even in the midst of saying all these things, it's like the rest of me isn't getting it. And so I think there's a process of me putting that forward and realizing that there is abundance in great many things, and I don't have to be subject to having any kind of fears other than what God will and won't do in my life. That's the only fears I should have. And so, you know what? That's on him. It rests on him. And that's the result of that humility of saying, you know what? It's not about what I can do or what I can provide. It's not about what I can convince others of. It's not what I can force to happen. It's not about that. It's about me realizing that I am just a lowly human and should be trembling in fear of the creator of the universe. Yep, here he is just bringing me along and saying, you know what, we've got great things for you. There it is. So let's go. Verse 5. There are thorns and snares on the path of the crooked. The one who guards himself stays far from them. Teach a youth about the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. You see this verse a lot, and it really is so key. I need to yell at a cat. Clawing up my stairs. Unbelievable. Like literally like trying to tear carpet up. Ugh. These animals, I tell you. All right. So you can't teach a kitty in the way they should go because they're stubborn and they're kitties. But a youth, however, teach a youth the way he should go when he's old and not depart from it. It's a clever saying. It's said a lot. But honestly, I think we need to challenge how much we really believe that. Because our society is seeming to have a different perspective on this. Let me say it this way. Teaching a child the character that they should have, yeah, the way he should go, that's kind of the simplified way of saying teach them why they should do it, or you know, that this is the pathway for you. You know, not force them to do that or make that's their only option. Make them realize why. So you teach it, and then that becomes part of their character. And when they're old, don't depart from it. That's what that means. It doesn't mean they're shunned if they don't go that way. That's not how that works. There's certain lessons that need to be said. Like verse 7 here. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. It's said a lot around here, around the Franklin, Tennessee area, and yeah, it's Ramsey territory, so we say this a lot around here. and it's true whether we like to admit it or not. That's the reality. And yeah. Enough said about that, probably. The one who sows injustice will reap disaster, and the rod of his fury will be destroyed. A generous person will be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. The literal translation here is good of eye. Good of eye. The good of eye will be blessed. It's a really wild way to say that. But a generous person will be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. And to a point I made on LinkedIn yesterday, you know, it's not just about silencing people with your funds. you know, I got done with yesterday's broadcast and I was just wrecked for a little while. Just realizing just how much I fall into these traps of just, you know, being quote unquote generous with finances and whatnot, but it's not really at the heart of it. It's not me being generous. It's me being kind of silencing those voices instead of holding them up, instead of sharing my life with them and sharing things that are actually valuable. I'm just giving money and calling that good and saying, oh, I'm doing enough. And so, yeah, I emotional. I got probably too emotional on LinkedIn about it and just kind of called that out with people. It's like, because I'm seeing a lot of just this spoiled white person syndrome going on that they're literally thinking that just raising their voice is enough. And I'm like, no, or forcing, you know, governments to do this or that is enough. I'm like, no, that's not generosity. That's just a force of will. That's a very, very different thing. And so being truly generous, are you willing to just have a poor person at your table, that sort of thing? That's, you know, I don't know if that's literally what this means, but you know what I mean? It's an attitude. So what that means for you might be different than me, but you know, I think of, I can hold up a lot of people that are great examples of this, but, we're not here for that necessarily today. I could go on. But yeah, this is just a general attitude to have. Verse 10, drive out a mocker and conflict goes too. Then quarreling and dishonor will cease. The one who loves a pure heart and gracious lips, the king is his friend. Kind of talked about the quarreling and dishonor stuff a little bit a couple days ago, actually. But so we'll just leave it at that. But yeah, go back and review if you need to. The Lord's eyes keep watch over knowledge, but he overthrows the words of the treacherous. How can words be overthrown? I think it's like over, it's louder. Which is interesting because it feels like a still small voice, yet it's has more power. Okay, y'all know this is one of my favorite verses right here. Because I always do it in the speak and say or whatever it was. The slacker says, there's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square. It's just, it's deliciously snarky, and I will always love it. Just that whole rightfully making fun of a slacker, of saying something ridiculous. There's a lion outside. I'll be killed in the public square. The economy's bad. I shouldn't go out and do things. This is the wrong time to go find a job. Verse 14. The mouth of a forbidden woman is a deep pit. A man is cursed. Sorry, a man cursed by the Lord will fall into it. Foolishness is tangled up in the heart of a youth. The rod of discipline will drive it away from him. I think it's a slightly different interpretation of that, but it still works. That it's what it takes is that breaking them out of it, you know, snapping them out of that ensnared nature of it, that foolishness is, you know, is tangled up there, and it takes something dramatic to break it out. I think we all wish it wasn't like that. At least I would hope, but yeah. And then verse 16, oppressing the poor to enrich oneself and giving to the rich both lead only to poverty. I was telling my wife last night that I don't know this for a fact, but I have a sense that a lot of this is going to be exposed in the days to come, in the weeks to come. I think we're going to be seeing that a lot of this has been going on. And yeah, there's this prison back where I used to live. Big federal maximum security prison that I am thinking might have some new residents soon. I have that sense. I don't know this for a fact. I have a sense about it that we'll see this come true. All right, so this is a section of Proverbs that we're getting into that is just general sayings of wisdom. That are generally thought to be just collected, not necessarily just from Solomon, but from Solomon's peers and his kind of group around him that would have contributed to this. And so there'll be some repetition as we go along in the chapters to come here. But this is just such a fun section of Proverbs. And so I hope you'll enjoy it along with me here. Verse 17, listen closely, pay attention, stretch out to your ear and pay attention to the words of the wise, and apply your mind to my knowledge. For it is pleasing if you keep them within you, and if they are constantly on your lips. Are you, let them be so that, I don't know what that footnote means, I'm sorry. For you, if they, oh yeah, so that they are constantly on your lips, okay. I have instructed you today, even you, so that you have confidence, so that your confidence may be in the Lord. Haven't I written for you 30 sayings? Wow, this is a big footnote. One Hebrew tradition reads, you previously. Alternate says, you excellent things. Another source, the Vulgate, reads, you three times. So instead of 30 sayings, it's like, haven't I written you three times or something like that? That's a very, wow, a wide range of interpretations here. I think it makes sense because you count them out and it doesn't make sense. You know, the 30 sayings is like, well, there's more than 30 sayings in the section. So that does make some sense, is that there might be some discrepancy there. Okay. But the point is, there, even you of lowly thought like DJ, haven't I written out for you all these sayings about counsel and knowledge in order to teach you about true and reliable words so that you may give a dependable report or give dependable words to those who sent you? And here we go. Saying one, don't rob a poor man because he is poor. Don't crush the oppressed at the gate. For the Lord will take up their case and will plunder those who plunder them. There you go. Number two, I'm probably going to stop counting because they're not really noted that way. But don't make friends with an angry man or with a master of anger. And don't be a companion of a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and entangle yourself in a snare. Don't be one of those who enter agreements and put up security for loans or do the shaking of hands. If you have no money to pay, even your bed will be taken from under you. That whole key of if you have no money to pay. Not just going to be okay, in other words. Yeah. Don't move the ancient boundary marker that your father set up. Sorry. There's some weirdness happening in Washington right now, and so I'm just kind of want to just put this in an envelope and just send it to him. Keep focused on the right things. Sorry, that's just me. My libertarian nature coming up here, I guess. verse 29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand in the presence of kings. He will not stand in the presence of unknown men. You know, I kind of like this one. I don't want to say it's about achievement, but at the same time, there is a nature of God wanting to honor people for using the talents and gifts they've been given and developing those talents and saying, you know what, I have a natural proclivity towards this. I'm going to lean into it. And it doesn't matter what season of life this is in. And it doesn't have to be, hear me on this, please. This doesn't have to be your vocation. A lot of times you have people that are talented in certain areas that have nothing to do with their vocation. In fact, I would argue that there are some people that have talents that really help them just to get by from the stresses of their vocation. And you know what? That's great. If someday that makes it so that you're doing other things, great too. I'll give you an example. So I used to teach a kind of a quick cohort class kind of a thing called Thriving Artists. The concept is that, you know, people can be artists or craftsmen and that sort of thing and use their day job to support that. Instead of worrying about going and selling their art and things like that, they can do this other thing. And maybe someday they will get to that point of selling their art. Great. But there's value in doing these expressive things as an example. If you have these natural talents and abilities towards this, there is wonderful things you can do with that. There's a grand amount of things that can be done with it, but that's not what makes you stand in the presence of kings. What makes you stand in the presence of kings is that willingness to do it for God's honor and to be not just to do it. I shouldn't say it that way. Not just to do it. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying to do it in such a way that you want to get better and better and better at it, to become skilled in that work. Not to gain wealth, but to gain God's favor. And that will naturally cause people to be attracted to you. And so that can be a lot of great things. But also, it can be work. It can be your vocation. There's a lot of things that I have done in my life that I've realized certain gaps in the field. And I kind of talked about that when I first started today, I was interviewed a while ago and they're basically just putting it out to various publications and seeing who's going to pick it up. And one finally did. And it's on a difficult topic. It's about talking about, the state of IT and how a lot of information technology services, there's a lot of talk about AI and things like that. And there's really a lot of confusion in the marketplace right now and a lot of things. But honestly, what I want to build up with people is a notion of if these are natural talents and abilities you have, build them up, you know. And my hope at just between us, not really, but my hope is that that will cause additional conversations to happen. That hope being put into these people's lives will cause additional conversations about this to happen, of saying, you know, what is it about, what brought you to this conclusion? What things about your life brought you to this, you know, and being able to say to them, well, this is a result of my not just having faith, but walking in it and being willing to challenge that and grow that just like I grow everything else, you know? And so being able to have those conversations is something I am really excited about, looking forward to, but also for hopefully making some difference in people's lives. And so yeah. And so I didn't say this earlier, but thank you, Tina. It is great news that this happened, and I hope that it is something that I can, kind of parlay into something very, very positive in that regards, that I can be used to make an impact in some people's lives. I mean, I have this vision of literally making it so that, you know, not just companies are more successful or whatever, but making it so that people are more fulfilled in their work. They're less likely to be depressed and, you know, suicidal and all these things that I'm seeing right now. You know, the substance abuse, the infidelities, there's all these things that are going on in the corporate world and especially in the technology world, and nobody's talking about it. And I'm really puzzled as to why that is. And so it needs to be talked about, especially right now. You know, it's something that needs to be brought up very, very bluntly and addressed. And so it's a weird calling, I know, but hey, you know what? Some people juggle geese. I mean, just that movie quote there. But yeah, in any case, I'm excited about it. And so I still, the shock of it is still there. So I'm still letting it set in. But we'll just keep going, and we'll keep holding up wisdom and living in that as much as possible, and letting that guide. And yeah, that sort of thing. I've gone on way too long today. But I think that there's some things coming with this channel that I want to talk about soon. So hopefully you'll be able to make some time for that and kind of keep you guys posted on that. But there's just some strategies I've been talking about how to grow. And I think, yeah, as I put these thoughts together, I think a general attitude about what this can be and what this can become and kind of what this makes possible is really exciting to think about. So in any case, for all you out there, be blessed by the best, then go be a blessing to all the rest. And we'll see you here again tomorrow for Proverbs 23. See you then.